What's up, everybody? I'm your host, Hannah, and welcome to the International Women's Day episode of It's Super Effective. With me today, I have Aislinn.
Hi, I'm Aislinn.
And I have Anna.
Hi, everyone. Anna here.
So this is the 2024 International Women's Day episode of the podcast. International Women's Day is a global holiday celebrated every year on March 8th. It's been going since the year 1911, and it brings attention to topics such as gender equality, reproductive rights, and violence and abuse against women. It's part of Women's History Month, which is the entire month of March. And to celebrate, we're bringing more voices of women in the Pokemon community on for this special episode. We're going to be here talking about our experiences with Pokemon, what got us into Pokemon in the first place, and how it's a part of all of our lives. And with that, we can kind of just have this conversation. So hi.
Hello.
I always like starting with where it began for each of us. So I do really want to just sort of ask how each of you got into Pokemon and what your first memory of Pokemon is and whether that kind of ties in, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I can start with that. My first Pokemon game was Pokemon Silver. So I started with Gen 2. My first starter was Cyndaquil. Didn't really get into it at first. I didn't get like video games at first. And then Silver and Crystal, I had both. And then I really hit my stride with Generation 3. Sapphire is still like my favorite main series game, but I played a lot of Silver and Crystal and I love all three of the Johto starters. I think they're really fun. I think that it's unfortunate that like they're never really viable and competitive because they don't have like dual typings. But Feraligatr just got buffed in Pokemon Go, so that's nice. For context,
and we do have Hisuian. Right. We have Hisuian Typhlosion.
Yeah.
So Cyndaquil has that evolution now.
Yeah, and we might get new ones in PLZA. Like very exciting. But yeah, and then on the like card side, I remember. I had an older cousin who gave me a Drowsy card when I was very young. I was probably like 4 or 5. And I was just like, this is so cool. Like, Pokemon is just so cool. And then, you know, like a lot of people, like, took a break in like adolescence and then came back with Pokemon Go and haven't looked back since. 2016 to today. It's become a huge part of my life. For anyone watching who knows me already, Pokemon Go is like the predominant space that I'm like present in and active in. But I'm all throughout the franchise at this point and really love everything about Pokemon. So just a huge, huge part of my entire life. But it all starts with, you know, one Pokeball on a screen or one card. Mm-hmm. And it's really beautiful.
That's yep. cute.
Was the Drowsy card before or after you were playing the games?
It was after. So okay. Games for me came first, and then the trading card game.
Nice. Yeah, I think for me it was similar, except swapped. Mm. My very first memory of like getting a Pokemon was my first Pokemon card, which was a Horsea Pokemon card. And then very shortly after that, I started playing the games and really haven't looked back since. And then Aislinn, what about you? I think your story is a little different.
It is a little different. So I actually started with the anime. I remember watching the anime growing up and my parents getting me like the VHS tapes as well to watch them at home and whatnot. I also just liked all like the plushies and everything that I came across. And I remember some of like the fast food toys and stuff and being into those. and then I think after that, I got into like the trading card a little bit because I remember I had people that lived across the street from me from my parents' house. They were going to throw out a bunch of Pokemon cards. And I was like, no, I like Pokemon. I know the anime and that stuff. So I like picked up essentially their garbage, which I'm very happy that I did because I still have those cards to this day. And there's like...
And they were actually being thrown away,
yeah.
Not like at a garage
yeah,
sale?
Yeah, they were just going to throw it out. And I'm like, no, don't throw that out. Don't waste. So I took them. And there's some really cool like old cards in there. I can't remember like any super specific ones off the top of my head. But I do remember I even got like some like German cards in the set and like some Japanese cards and stuff. Then after that, after getting like the trading cards, I got into, I think, the video games at that point. And my first game that I played was Leaf Green. I want to say. And then I went directly into Pearl after that. And that was like the biggest time sink. So I'm like definitely nostalgic for Gen 4, which is debatable whether it's good, but I definitely have nostalgia for it.
It's completely fine to like a generation, even if the remake wasn't great.
It's such a, it, yeah, I don't, I have feelings about that, but yeah, so I would say like Gen 4 is like definitely the biggest generation for me in regards to the games. And then I remember I played through a little bit or a good chunk through Black and White, for whatever reason, didn't finish it. I think because then at that point I was getting into high school, and like y'all chatted about last year on the podcast, where you kind of like hit that age where it's no longer cool, you know, to like Pokemon. I kind of fell off and into college from there, fell off, was kind of keeping up with the news. And then I remember, I don't know what triggered me to want to look up a Pokemon podcast, but I was like, I want to listen to a Pokemon podcast. Stumbled across this one, ISE, a little bit before like Sword and Shield came out, I want to say. And then that just like skyrocketed, like the most I've ever seen, even more than I was a kid, loving Pokemon now. And then I've been loving Pokemon ever since. I guess, long story short, shortish.
I mean, one of the really cool things about Pokemon is that because it's been around for so long, we can all have long stories of kind of it being part of our lives. But I mean, it sounds like all of us are super into it. I mean, I know we're all super into it right now, and we've all experienced kind of finding community through Pokemon. I know that I found community also kind of through this podcast and through ISE, but I've also found community through Pokemon, honestly, just playing Pokemon Go ever since it came out. I found community through Pokemon because of Pokemon Go at the fast food job I had when the game first came out. And in college, I made a club all around Pokemon Go. And even to this day, I am meeting and making friends with my neighbors just because of Pokemon Go. And so I kind of wanted to ask more about experiences with community and especially live events, because Islin, I met you for the first time at a live event last year, and Anna, I almost met you at the Portland Regionals last year. Yeah. I don't know. Have you been, Anna, to one of the Pokemon Go live events that they do?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So,
just not.
Yeah, I was
not the same one.
I was in Seattle in that was 2022, right? That was 2 years ago. And then I went to both Osaka and New York this past year for GoFest.
You were in New York.
Okay, we missed each other.
Oh, yeah. No, I was, yeah, I did the double dip because Osaka was the week before Worlds, and then New York was like the
that
week
was the whirlwind.
After Worlds. Yeah, that was 3 weekends in a row,
oh,
and then
gosh.
I said, okay, I'm going to take a break from Pokemon for a bit, and then they had a Pittsburgh Regionals like a month later, and I competed and like did very well. And I was like, well, okay, maybe a little bit more, and then we'll take a step back just to breathe.
that's a lot back to back to back. But good on you for pushing through, and I hope it was fun.
Oh yeah, no, I love the GoFest events, like just seeing a lot of people all over the country, all over the world even. And just getting to chat about the game, getting to chat about not the game, like Worlds as well, like seeing friends that I know in Australia that I only see once a year, if that. And it's just awesome. It's amazing how much it can bring people together, how it can create this community all over.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And Islin, your experience, was New York your first? No, because you went to the Nationals. How many live events have you been to? Not necessarily Pokemon Go, but Pokemon events.
I want to say my first one was, my first one was NAIC last year, and then was the GoFest in New York. And that's pretty much been it. Yeah, that's pretty much been it as of right now.
Nice. Well, the GoFest in New York was fantastic.
So fun.
We got really good weather that weekend.
I was like, what was your initial question? Were we supposed to answer another question?
We're talking about community and finding community in Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's something I know all of us have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess to attest to that, definitely going to NAIC and going to GoFest, those were fantastic experiences that I knew I was going to enjoy, but didn't realize I was going to enjoy as much as I did. And through those experiences, I've made even more great friends through all of that I'm like really, really grateful for, and just make me just genuinely so happy. Like, I feel like because of Pokemon being in my life and meeting the people that I've met through the Pokemon communities and everything, I feel like these are the relationships that I've had with people that have made me the happiest, I think, thus far in my life, which I'm really grateful for.
Yeah.
I think I've had that experience too.
Somewhat like topically to the episode, like some of the most incredible communities and experiences that I found through Pokemon is like, I'm an admin for a women's Pokemon Go PvP group. So like,
that's so cool.
We have girls at PvP for Pokemon Go. I'm also a member of Hatterini series in VGC. And then there's a group, Girl Power TCG, with the trading card game. And it's remarkable, as someone who's been in like competitive gaming for years, not just in the Pokemon scene, but all over, to see these congregations of like-minded women who compete in these, you know, pillars of Pokemon. I think there's one that exists in Unite as well, and my apologies to the Unite players. I'm not exactly sure of the name, but it's just amazing to see, like, all over the world. Like, there's other admins for girls at PvP that live in Australia, that live in Europe, like, that I might never get to meet in person, but I know as familiar as, you know, people that live in my city and I'm friends with, just from this, you know, common interest of Pokemon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I definitely will say it is like, I never heard of anything that you just listed off, to be completely honest, but I absolutely adore that seems to be like a growing community and everything. Because I think, I mean, I briefly spoke about it when we made like the little group chat, and I think I've spoken about it with a number of people, but I love to see that community is growing for women, especially because like, I've only been to NAIC once, and I've watched like a good handful of like the competitive streams and everything in Pokemon, but it is primarily men, identifying men, that yes. are competing. So it is awesome to see more identities, I guess, competing and getting into the competitive scene. I really, really love to see that. Just having that diversity, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
cool. Yeah. I mean, I will say I have heard of all of those things. I'm just not in them because I'm not a very good PvP-er.
I will say that's not a requirement. I don't think for any of them that's a requirement. But no, I understand.
Yeah, I love that they exist. I've been to a few different in-person tournaments, regionals. I've been to one Worlds so far. And yeah, the gender balance in the events is nowhere near 50-50, but it has definitely gotten much closer. I think my first regionals was back in 2016, mm-hmm. maybe 2017. And there was maybe one woman competing for every 20 men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was an experience.
I can only imagine.
And so I know that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Not everyone, but I know it does make a lot of people uncomfortable. So I'm really glad that there are groups that allow people to have more community at mm-hmm. these events, at these competitions. And that is one of the reasons I wanted to have you on here today, because I know that you can represent some of those communities.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely can relate and understand. And like, it's striking to me a lot at times that Pokemon, like this franchise that is so for everyone, like it is so inclusion focused. It is, you know, not this kind of franchise that might inherently, you know, turn away women based on like the content or anything. Like the source material is for everyone. And that's like, that's Pokemon. That it still, you know, gets these kinds of lack of inclusion just from, and not that it's anything that is being forced artificially, it's just so many men involved. So little spaces for women. And that's like one of the most powerful things that I can do, and something that I'm most proud of, is like being involved in these groups and having a space that, even if it's not based on the exclusion of men in particular, but rather that a woman can ask a question without someone responding, oh, you don't know this, or without feeling like being judged, because anyone can ask anything, and we're going to have that same experience of being talked down to, or we're going to have that same experience of, you know, whatever treatment it is at events, or, you know, just out playing the game, that, you know, you have someone there that has been in those shoes. It's really, really empowering, and it's something I'm just always so happy to see someone else get involved, see someone else get that spark ignited by having that space.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's fantastic.
It's just like genuinely so lovely to hear that.
Yeah, and to be part of creating those spaces for people.
Definitely.
We kind of speed ran first memories of Pokemon and the Pokemon's not cool period. But I did want to kind of talk a little bit more about what it was like coming back to Pokemon after, since I know you both said you both did have kind of that period that most people go through of thinking Pokemon isn't cool, or Pokemon is just for kids, and Pokemon's maybe not a part of my life anymore. But clearly we're all very in it right now. So what was it like coming back to Pokemon after those periods? I know for me, I had that kind of a little bit, but only for like a year because I was too busy with school stuff. So I never fully stepped away from Pokemon myself, mm-hmm. but it sounds like both of you maybe did a little bit more. So what was it like coming back to Pokemon? I think, Anna, you said you came back when Pokemon Go hit?
Yeah, so I petered out around the like Generation 4. So I still to this day have not played Generations 5, 6, and 7, and I really want to play Generation 6 now before the PLZA.
Now would be the time.
Yeah, exactly. So there were like two kind of spots to jumping back into Pokemon Go. Is like, one, this is so cool, like how the game has and the franchise has like adapted to current day being 2016 at the time, so 8 years ago, but seeing that, and then wow, there are so many more Pokemon, and like learning all this, obviously Generation 6 had come out, so there's an entire new typing at that point in time, and relearning everything. So there were like two stages to this. One is Pokemon Go comes out, I continue with Pokemon Go for about a year and a half, and then I took like a year and a half off. The game was kind of stagnant at launch. I think a lot of people recognize that, of you catch the original 151, except not even that, because legendaries weren't in at launch. So
yeah.
And especially also, I was still in college when it released, and then like moving back to the suburbs, like not as much to do. And then I got
to do it.
And then I got back into it, and raids had been released and PvP had been released. And I said, okay, if I'm getting back into this game, I'm going to get back into it seriously, and learned all about all the new Pokemon, learned all about the typings, because type interactions had changed as well, obviously, with Fairy being released. I also think, like, some stuff around, like, Steel and Dark and Ghost, like, I have it all memorized now, but I think, like, there was a period of time where they were like, Metagross is too strong, nerf Steel types. Anyway, in between, like, Gens 3 or 4 or something like that. Dove headfirst into it, know all the Pokemon now again, but it was just so much. It was so much, and it was great. It was like, I am very much someone who will hyperfixate, and very much someone who will like, oh, are there resources for this? I will dive headfirst into them. And I also like to then like create resources for it. So like very early on, I was like, oh, here are these interesting things about PvP. Let me be able to share this information, which has always been great as well. Like having it be this like living, breathing community of I can learn from you and you can learn from me and we can, you know, tackle this experience together. Just super cool.
Yeah, and you really dove into it. Yeah. You're not just someone who, I mean, I'm not trying to rank one of these as more or lesser than the other, but you're not just someone who helps organize these great communities for women in PvP communities, but you're also someone who has found a lot of success in competitive Pokemon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I have my wall behind me of like
I'm very
top
impressed.
Eight.
I'm very impressed, honestly.
Yeah, my top eight playmats, my world's competitor playmat back there behind Cubone. I've written articles for Pokemon.com. Like it's always an incredible honor to be able to be involved in competition at the highest level, to be recognized as such. And it's a blessing that I never take for granted. Like the success I found in Pokemon at both on a like again, like competitive level, but on a social level, like being looked up to, being asked to be part of things like this. Like this was an honor to be requested for this podcast, Hannah. And it's something that I really appreciate all the time. I know that it's not as easy for women in content, in competitive, in whatever it may be, because we're not given those opportunities as much a lot of the times. And it's something that I'm always just so glad for, so glad that I can help move that needle, that I can, you know, do whatever it is to help me and others. And that's been beautiful as well, is like getting other women involved in creating content, helping coach other women to do well at events. And just, you know, be the change you want to see.
That's so nice. I love
amazing.
That.
Can I ask what are like, what competitions have you done the best in?
Yeah.
Do you have a, like,
yeah, so,
a way to talk about that?
Yeah, of course. So I've competed in all three games at this point. It just goes where I found the most success. But I competed in the trading card game at Charlotte this year. And I've competed in the video game a few times, probably like five different regionals between this year and last year. But in Go, yeah, I've top cut five different like regional level tournaments. I've won a lot of local tournaments. Not that winning a local tournament isn't a big deal, just comparatively. First one was actually in London 2022. There was a last chance qualifier for the World Championships, which was in size and scope the same as a regional. It was 128 competitors, and I came in fifth. I tied for fifth there, which did not allow me to compete in Worlds, but was a really, really nice finish. My second top eight is the Enamorous right there, and that was Peoria 2023, and that's probably the regional I'm most well-known for. I was a finalist, and myself and the grand champion, Aiden, really good young player, wound up playing 15 battles, which for anyone who doesn't follow the circuit, you have normally best of threes during like the tournament, and then the winner's finals, loser's finals, and grand finals are all best of fives. So we played out five games in the winner's finals. I won to enter on the winner's side in grand finals. He went down to lower's finals, won. And then we went to five games in the first set, and he wound up winning. And then five games in the second set, and he wound up winning. But it was like one of the closest matches that even like to this day, people like come up to me and talk about Peoria 2023 season, but October of 2022. And it was just remarkable. And that's what really kind of put my name – on the map as a competitor for people who didn't follow like grassroots circuit or anything like that. Portland, actually, after Peoria, I staffed a regional, so that was really interesting, seeing that side of things in Arlington that season. And then Portland, which again, Hannah, you were mentioning, that was my return after I did a few events in VGC, because last year, if you made the finals of a Go tournament, you qualified for Worlds automatically. So I took a break, tried out some other things, returned for Portland, tied for fifth again there, got my Koridon playmat, and then probably the finish I am that would be like considered the most competitive would be NAIC last year, and I don't think you all can see that, but that's behind me is the competitor playmat, which my ring lights are completely getting a glare in, but next to it is the top eight. So I finished in fifth at the North American International Championships, which is probably the toughest, other than Worlds, competition that I've competed in. And that was a very sentimental run. I played against a lot of friends in the bracket leading up to getting into top eight. I was really, really hoping that I could get the playmat because I love Evolutions. I mean, very classic, like very popular with women. They're so great.
I'm wearing an Evolution shirt, so I get it.
Yeah, I love that. Thank I noticed you. That. Very good. And the final match that I played, so like my like signature Pokemon is Tapu Fini. Like one of the only people, like every top eight that I've done, I've used Tapu Fini. Outside of the LCQ. So since Peoria onward, every top eight. And almost every tournament I use the Pokemon. And so the final game that I played was like a playoff afterwards. So I made top six, and then there's a playoff for a travel award because of how it cascaded down with people who had already earned a travel award. And I played against another very strong competitor in the scene. And in the game three, decisive game three of a best of three, I get Tapu Fini against his Medicham. He still has two shields remaining. So in Pokemon Go, you get two shields to use to just block moves. And in Pokemon Go, Surf is like a relatively cheap energy charged attack. Moonblast is a much more expensive. This is hard to explain, like, outside of context of knowing Go PvP, but, like, I guess you can compare that in the trading card game as well. You have to use energy for moves. But, like, Moonblast was a very risky move to throw, given the fact that he had two shields remaining, and I went for it, and he didn't shield it, and it went through, and it basically, like, there was still play to be done in the game, but the game was over at that point. And there's a very unflattering gif of me like screaming after that landed, because it was just like the most amazing thing. I love it. It's very unflattering, but it's very like passionate.
I'm sure it's flattering, yeah, because like you said, it's passionate. It's full of all the emotions. So in that sense, it's flattering, but I get it.
Exactly. Yeah, and then Worlds in Japan was amazing, being a competitor there. I went, I think, 2-2, maybe 3-2, I don't remember. Like, nothing crazy, but I built my team strictly around having fun, and that's what I did. To me, like, it is, I want to be a competitor at Worlds, I want to obviously hold my own, but I'm not aiming to be number one, I'm aiming to be the best, like, in helping people get into the scene and being that representation I can be. Not to like say that I didn't try at Worlds. I absolutely enjoyed it, but it was a wonderful time and like super, super great to be there. And then right after I the first regional this season was in Pittsburgh and made top cut there, but not nearly as like famous as the NAIC run or the Peoria run. And then I really haven't been competing much this season. There's been some personal stuff. There's been some community stuff that hasn't been amazing, but I am planning on competing, you know, at Worlds this season. I'm most of the way there. Pittsburgh helped a lot with the point system. And I always still, like, you know, love the game and might compete more next season depending on how things, you know, play out. And it's just super great. And those, you know, really good memories are always, always amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. Yeah. We don't usually have people who are super competitive mm-hmm. on here, and I'm definitely not. So it's fantastic to just sort of hear the firsthand experience.
Yeah, it's super, super fun. It's really interesting to me because I don't consider myself a competitive person, but I love the game and I'm really good at it. And it's like, and even that's like difficult for me to say. Like, people will be like, stop selling yourself short. And I'm like, mm-hmm. well, I feel like it's so simple. Like, cause it gets to the point where it's like secondhand nature.
Especially with Pokemon Go.
Yeah. And it's still wild. Like, again, I was helping a friend of mine scrimmage for, again, like, I haven't competed much this season, but I'm still helping other people build their teams of six, you know, scrim for tournaments, whatever it may be. And, like, he goes on to, like, win the tournament, and I'm like, oh, like, I was just holding my own against him. Okay, if I, you know, if and when I kind of make a return to competing in these outside the local level, like, I'll still be fine.
Yeah, I will say, I remember being in like the general crowd at NAIC. Mm-hmm. And I know I already like briefly mentioned this, but I remember I was watching either Unite or the VGC. Mm-hmm. And I didn't ever work my way over to the Pokemon Go section because I mm-hmm. like the PvP in Pokemon Go is like, there's already a lot of things that go over my head when it comes to competitive Pokemon. Pokemon Go is like the most foreign thing to me. I have
it
no idea.
It is so fast paced. It's most comparable to Pokken, but like Pokken, just because it's like a fighting game yeah. level of like mm-hmm. speed. But even Pokken, like, I feel like has a lot more context for a new player yeah. compared to like Go. Like, if you, I understand completely.
But yeah, I remember sitting in that crowd and not even being in the Pokemon Go section, but hearing about you specifically in Pokemon Go and like how you were killing it. And I'm like, I have no idea who this person is. I have no idea what's happening over there. But as far as I know, she's the only woman I've heard of and seen over there. And I'm so happy to hear that. It's so cool. You go. Oh. So like,
thank
I
you.
Wasn't even in the section, but I was hearing about you. And I was like, that is so cool.
That's so great. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. Like
what it's all about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really yep. cool. Definitely really cool to hear.
And with that, I want to turn this over to you, Ace, and ask you more about your experiences in Pokemon after coming back from your Pokemon isn't really cool, but wait, is it?
Yeah.
Little break in there.
Yeah, so I guess, like I said, with high school, that's when I fell off. Around then and then going into college especially, but I definitely still liked Pokemon. I just didn't talk about it. I think I had like some Pokemon plushes laying around. I'm just like looking around my desk to see like if I have anything on my desk that carried over, but I probably had like some Pokemon plushes. I knew the Pokemon cards were there. I kept them safe because I was like, I know I still love them, but I'm just not playing. And I know I still had like at that time, even though I fell off, I had like a nostalgia for Gen 4 still. And I was like, oh, it'd be nice to, you know, play the Pokemon games. And hearing about the ones that were coming out, I was like, oh, I kind of want to play it. But I just, once I was in college, it was more so, it became a time thing. Because at that point, while I was in, once I made it to college and made it past like the first year and everything, I kind of found my own identity. And I was like, oh, if I got into Pokemon, that would be awesome. I don't care about being quote unquote cool. In high school, it's going into college, you're finding your identity. I finally found that. And I was like, yeah, I love Pokemon. But at that point, I was far deep into college. And I was like, now I don't have the time to get back into Pokemon. But I still knew I loved Pokemon. And I remember when Pokemon Go came out, that was like a surge at one point when I got back into it. I think everyone did. Even if you didn't know Pokemon, you were playing Pokemon Go. So that was definitely a surge. And then I think I just kind of fell off again because time was a big thing for me. school is just, college in general is just very stressful. So there was that. And I think I was still in college when Sword and Shield was coming out. And I was like getting to a point where I can kind of manage my time a little bit better. And I heard a little bit about like Sword and Shield coming out. And then I guess I just, you know, picked up the podcast and then just started listening to the podcast weekly and being like, oh, this is really cool. And then after like maybe like 5 weeks of listening to the weekly podcast, I like was like, you know what, I'll do the Patreon. I'll, you know, join the Patreon and pay for something that I'm really enjoying lately. And then getting involved in the Slack as much as I could was, I think, what really like kickstarted everything. And because like the Slack community was just so, so, so welcoming and lovely. And I felt like a sense of community and be like, okay, I can dive into this now. And then from there, it was just playing Sword and Shield, learning about all the new Pokemon and everything. Because like you, Anna, I also did not, I started Gen 5, never finished it, didn't play Gen 6, didn't play Gen 7, skipped all of that, heard about it, but just skipped all of it completely. Mm-hmm. Actually, funny enough too, I never even played until recently Gen 2 or Gen 3. So I also skipped generations when I was a kid. I just wasn't like in the games as much as I was in the anime and the TCG. So I have like a whole gap of knowledge that I am like, I've been piecing it together over the years, ever since essentially like Sword and Shield, where I am like kind of just a sponge and just taking in all of the knowledge at this point, and very happily taking in all the knowledge from the internet and the community and everything. But yeah, it was, I think that's pretty much a good summary. Well,
you're more than just in the Slack. You do all the Pokemon things too.
Yeah. I do, like, obviously getting into streaming and everything and all of that as well. I've only been diving more into Pokemon and kind of making my own, I guess, little community as well. It started off as just like making a community with like my IRL friends and bringing in like friends from high school, friends from college, other friends that I kind of just knew from internet communities, and just being like, I just want to talk about Pokemon, but y'all are all in like three or four different spaces. Can I just put you all in one space? then the Discord server was born, and then it just kind of like went from there, I guess.
Which of the games have you been like, which specific games have you been working on playing to kind of fill in the gaps in the game-based knowledge
so
that you've had?
I guess currently I'm playing through Crystal to kind of see what the hype of Gen 2 has been like, is all about. And so far I'm really liking it. Definitely really liking it. And then obviously just kind of taking it as much knowledge as I can about the Pokemon themselves from Scarlet and Violet and what I remember from Sword and Shield to just apply it to what I know about the generation that it came from. There is that as well. But yeah, at the moment, mainly just playing through Crystal just to see, like, why do people say Crystal or Gen 2 is their favorite gen? And then eventually working my way into Gen 3 and be like, why do people say this is their favorite generation? And then skipping right past Diamond and Pearl, because I'd never want to play those slow games again.
I never, ever
want to play those games again. I don't even want to play Brilliant Diamond. I don't even want to play the new ones. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm going straight to Platinum. I'm not doing it. Not happening.
I was going to say, when you said playing through Crystal, I'm like, well, you've played through Gen 4 a lot. So, like, Johto also struggles with level curve quite a bit. I think 2 and 4 are, like, the biggest, you know, problems with that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, you'll know what you're getting into when you get to that point in Johto.
Well, so far it's been okay with Crystal at least, because I do have the epilogue operator. So I just like pop my cartridge in it, and when the game becomes like too grindy, I just speed it up and I could just run around in the grass at like 2x double speed, like bolting through the grass to like grind out and level up my Pokemon. So it hasn't been like that. That it hasn't felt as like slow as Diamond and Pearl have felt.
Yeah.
Thankfully. Yeah. So I've been having a great time with Crystal.
Awesome.
And I see the appeal. I definitely see the appeal.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay. I think, unless either of you have interesting discussion questions you want to ask of any of us, I can move into the more rapid fire stuff for the rest of the episode.
I'll think about it along the way.
Sounds good. I don't have to be the only one asking questions here. So I'm just going to do some of the more typical questions that you ask when you're getting to know a Pokemon fan. So, and I'll answer them too. My answers all come with the kind of stumbling around, not making good solid decisions because none of I'm bad at making decisions about favorite things.
Same.
But if you had to choose one, that's kind of what this is. So if you had to choose one favorite Pokemon, what would your favorite Pokemon be?
Eevee. Done.
Sandshrew. Done.
Well, I love that pick.
Yeah.
Sandshrew, far and away my favorite Pokemon.
Cantonian or Alolan?
Both. Cantonian's my original favorite, but I'm huge into, I love armadillos in general. And pangolins, both, like, little critters. And yeah, I don't have the plush out. I have Cubone out. I love ground types in general. But I have all my like Sandshrew merch. This is a little stamp pin.
That's so cute.
Nice.
Very cute.
Nice.
Yeah, so like I've always loved Sandshrew Cantonian form. I was back into the franchise when Gen 7 was being like teased and started. And I feel very blessed that I love the regional form of my favorite Pokemon, because I'm sure, again, I think that most regional forms have been very good, and I don't mean to badmouth any of them, but like, say for instance, like I was a Ponyta fan that didn't like Galarian Ponyta. I love Galarian Ponyta, for the record, but like, say I didn't, that would feel weird.
It would be painful. Mm-hmm. It would be a little painful.
But for me, like, Alolan Sandshrew does an amazing job at changing entirely what Sandshrew is while keeping it the same vibe. It spins in a sideways instead of spinning like a bowling ball. Becomes a little igloo. It blends in with the snow. I think that ice and steel are really cool typings. Steel's probably my second favorite behind ground. Like, very cool Pokemon. And then both forms of Sandslash are very cool as well. Like, I'm someone who like enjoys the entire evolutionary line of my favorite Pokemon. I know there's like some people who are like, I love Metagross, I don't care about Metang, I don't care about Beldum. I think Sandslash is awesome, and like they did a really good job with that as well. So like, Kanto's my original favorite, but I love Alolan Sandshrew. Actually, in competitive Go, like NAIC 2023, I used Alolan Sandslash along with Tapu Fini, so like that was really cool to use like my signature competitive Pokemon, but also the evolution of my favorite Pokemon. Like, super, super cool. So that's an easy question. Favorite Sandshrew, always.
Yeah, both of you have an easy time with that. I have like 15 favorite Pokemon. If I had to choose one, it would probably be Blaziken.
Very good.
I mentioned this last year, but it's one of my favorite stories to tell. My family moved across the country between first and second grade for me. And that was around the time I was playing Pokemon Ruby. And so at the same time, I lost all of my human friends. The only friends I got to keep were my Pokemon friends. And so my Blaziken, my Torchic, that was my very first female starter Pokemon, which evolved into a Blaziken that I still have to this day, is very
so
special
cute.
To me.
I love that story. Love that story.
And because we got to elaborate a little more than you did, Ace, what is your favorite Eeveelution if you have one?
My favorite Eeveelution for the video podcast is Leafeon. I went to go grab it from behind me, but definitely Leafeon. But the reason Eevee is like my favorite is it took a very long time to decide on what my favorite is. And I'm like, wow, Eevee, of course, Eevee. It's so basic. But like, I don't mind being basic with that pick because I love Eevee and all of its Eeveelutions, and I love how versatile Eevee can be, especially with all the Eeveelutions. And I feel like Eevee fits into my personality as well, of being like this kind of like the way it's been portrayed in like Pokemon media and stuff and whatnot. It's very like bubbly, like cute, and like all the, again, the variety with the Eeveelutions and everything, I feel like just feel very me, which only lends into me loving Eevee so much. And then Leafeon's my favorite just because I just love nature and just leaves. it sounds so dumb. I'm just like, I just really like nature. I just, green is my favorite color. I love leaves. So I'm just like, Leafeon. Love Leafeon.
Leafeon's a very good one.
I love that.
Umbreon is a second. Again, basic, I know, but Umbreon is a second favorite.
Umbreon is amazing, to be fair. I think where I was going to go after that is the question of what's your favorite Pokemon type? And Anna, you kind of answered this.
Yes, I love ground types. At my desk where I stream and all, like, I have a little Trapinch here. I've got a Paldean Wooper. Yeah, I got this from Gabby Snyder, another amazing woman in Pokemon, one of the commentators for the video game. I have a little Flygon that I got in Japan. I love ground types. I have this Phanpy.
Oh my gosh, love. So good.
Yeah. No, anything ground types, like again, Cubone's back there. I have a bunch that like I'll take whenever I'm competing at a regional. I'll take a plush where if I get on stream, I can put it on stage. So, like I have an Incada back there that's been on stream a few times. I obviously have Sandshrew plushes, both Kanto and Alolan, but yeah, ground types just, I love them. I love using them in battle. It's a very strong offensive typing. And there's so many cute little critters I enjoy.
Totally get that.
That's totally fair. Honestly, ground types have never stood out to me until you're explaining how much you love them. That's cool. That's going to stick in my head now.
Yeah, me too.
Islam, do you have a favorite type? If your favorite Pokemon is Eevee...
It's not normal, I'll tell you that much. I just like a lot of Pokemon that are generally like electric / flying. I don't know what it is about like a lot of electric type Pokemon that I'm just such like a big sucker for. There's, I would say, a good majority of them I just love, and then flying as well. I just like a lot of birds. I'm like a cat person, I'm a bird person. I just, it only makes sense for flying, and there's so many good flying typing flying Pokemon as well, and just that dual typing together I also just really enjoy. Like I think my favorite like bird Pokemon of all time is Wattrel, which is,
yeah,
I think it is electric flying, right? It starts off as electric flying.
Okay.
So I can't really give a reason or rhyme as to why electric and flying aren't my favorite typings, but they're definitely, they're most likely my favorites, rather.
I mean, that's totally fair. And you choosing two types gives me the opportunity to choose more than one.
Heck yeah.
If I had to choose one, I'm starting to lean into fighting types more and more. The newer fighting type Pokemon are just becoming more unique than any of the older ones. They're not just people anymore.
They're just people.
But we've got cool new fighting types here. We've got Hisuian, we've got Sneasler, we have got Coridon. We've just got really cool fighting types at this point. But otherwise, Dark and Fire are my two other favorites. So the Fire fighting is really close to my heart with that Blaziken in there.
I got it.
Yeah.
Good.
No, Gen 9 like did so much for fighting in general. Like, you have both forms of Tauros. Like, we hadn't gotten a water fighting type. I guess we had our
three forms of Tauros.
One as well. But like, I guess we had just had Urshifu, but like water fighting isn't that common of a type, and we got both the Tauros and the Aquavel. Like Palmot and Iron Hands, like being the first electric fighting. Biased Great Tusks with the ground fighting for the first time. Iron Valiant, like, yeah, I completely agree with like fighting types becoming very cool.
The fighting types are just getting better and better.
Yeah,
and then with electric,
I was just gonna say, yeah, like now that you're like listing all these Pokemon, I'm like, wow, yeah, no, actually fighting has gotten a lot better over the years, because generally like if I'm picking a team or I'm making a team in a Pokemon game, usually I'm throwing fighting to the side or to the curb. Because I'm just
and
like,
Flamigo.
Oh, Flamigo's so and good. Flamigo. Birds, man, birds. Birds are good.
Flamigo's also really cool to make. It's like super used for speedrunning because it's got ridiculously high base stat total and you can find it really early on. And I'm like, it's just a silly bird, but...
It's just a bird friend, literally.
Yeah.
I was convinced to use Flamigo in my... In the playthrough I did on stream of Pokemon Violet because it made the entire playthrough easier. And I hadn't been a huge fan of it beforehand, but I liked my Flamigo.
That's great. And then, yeah, Electric Flying, like, I think Kilowattrol is, like, one of my favorite regional birds now just because it's super cool typing. It's not a very common typing. You have, like, Oricorio.
Oh, my God, I love Oricorio.
Emolga, like, Emolga they're always really cool. Yeah. I love that.
Nice. Yeah. The next question is going to be one that I think you both answered earlier on, but favorite generation of Pokemon?
Three easily. I've played Sapphire, like, more than any other game. I love Hoenn as a region. When I went to Worlds, when I went to Japan for Worlds, we spent a week in Kyushu, which is the region that Hoenn is based on, and went to a bunch of the different cities that inspired it. And then we went to Kansai for a week, which was like the Johto inspiration. And then Worlds was in Yokohama, which is Vermilion City in Kanto, or is the inspiration. And like we did a week in Kanto, but after being there in person as well, like solidified Hoenn is like so cool to me. It's so nature based. It has Torkoal. Right? Torkoal's like one
my
of my
gosh,
favorite Pokemon.
I love Torkoal too.
Just big friend.
I know.
Yeah. Generation 3 is also mine. Pretty much the same reason as Blaziken. It's the region I lived in when my family moved across the country. But you didn't play Gen 3 quite the same way. You were more of a Gen 4.
So technically I have nostalgia glasses for Gen 4. Would I say it's my favorite? Confidently, probably not. To be completely honest, I know I love the generation because it's what I sunk the most time into. But I feel like even though I've never played Gen 3, I would enjoy Gen 3 if it is nature-based, like you y'all are saying. But I've also been interested in Alola as well, because just the, again, nature type of vibe, I feel like I'm super into. But from generations that I've played, I feel like I would say that potentially a favorite generation, honestly, would be Sword and Shield. I really, really enjoyed those games, and I really, really enjoyed just the entire playthrough all the way from like front to back. Yeah, it's easy, quote unquote. It's quote unquote easy, but like
it's a Pokemon game.
We're all adults in Pokemon. Of course, this conversation has been on this podcast so many times. Of course, it's going to be easy. We're adults. We understand the game. So it only makes sense that it's easy. But like, I just really enjoyed the region and going through each city and finding the Pokemon that were in that gen. And I just really enjoyed it. So I feel like, I mean, I love Scarlet and Violet as well, but I feel like Sword and Shield might be my favorite generation of the gens that I've played thus far.
Nice. I know a lot of people are honestly already looking back to Sword and Shield with kind of a bit of nostalgia just because of how Scarlet and Violet turned out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm Gen 3, but Gen 9, I really have ended up liking Paldea a whole lot. So if I had to not choose Gen 3, if we could only each claim one generation each, I would probably go with Paldea as my second favorite or the one that I would choose.
Yeah, Paldea has an extremely strong Pokedex, and I think that's like a huge factor in enjoying a generation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that kind of covered our favorite main series game two. So what are our favorite games that aren't main series games? And is it all Pokemon Go?
Okay, so Pokemon Go is a cop-out for me because it's like the games that I've like gained popularity through and like gotten incredible opportunities through. But actually, like, Pokemon XD is all time like one of my favorite games in the Pokemon wow. franchise, like even competing with main series games. Pokemon XD, Gale of Darkness, for those who have no familiarity, it is the closest thing we had really to Gen 9, but it was back in 2003, 2004, like where it was 3D, like you aren't on a grid, top down, you go to different areas, but like for the time on the GameCube, it was like the closest thing we had to like open world as an idea. You're not constrained in the same ways you are in like Pokemon games. And then it's all double battles. So to me, like Gen 3 had double battles, like that was its gimmick, so to speak, that and weather, and just being, you know, on the Game Boy Advance and so on. But like double battles were introduced in Ruby, Sapphire, Emerald, and then like Fire, Red, Leaf, Green, but they weren't fully explored. And in Pokemon XD, like the dynamics of like, oh, if I have both of these Pokemon out, I can cover like all these typings. I can really power up, like, for instance, my Eevee that I've evolved into a Jolteon, and then like my Micargo or something like that. And like Jolteon can hit the water types, and then you know, Micargo can hit the grass types that resist electric. Like, just like that level that, surprise, surprise, I enjoy VGC now, which is all doubles. Just super, super cool gameplay, and like childhood me, it was like mind blown. but yeah, obviously Pokemon Go is like now the easy winner for me.
I think for me, I really so silly to say, but I really enjoyed Battle Revolution on the Wii.
Oh.
It was just such a fun game and was so silly. And I would sink so many hours into that as a kid. I still have the game, like the Wii. I have the game disc and everything. I just have to get my Wii fixed. But like, I kind of want to sink more hours into it and like rediscover, I guess.
Re-experience.
That's the correct word. Thank you. Re-experience the game all over again. And I didn't grow up playing Pokemon Snap on
New Pokemon.
I didn't grow up playing the original Pokemon Snap, but I got the original Pokemon Snap for my N64 and played a little bit of that, and obviously the new Pokemon Snap as well. I really enjoyed those as well. I'm also, one of my hobbies is photography, so taking photography and Pokemon and putting them together was just such a blast. So really, really enjoyed that as well.
That makes complete sense. I don't know why I hadn't thought about you and Pokemon Snap before, but yep.
I think because I just never really talk about it. No one asked me about it, and I just don't really talk about it. I played it on stream once.
It was kind of a game that had its time, and then people don't think about it as much anymore.
It needs a Hisui and Paldea update. I would in a heartbeat buy a DLC for new Pokemon Snap where I can take pictures of Clodsire. Like,
oh my gosh, yes. Give me all of the Wattrels across, yep. Just flying across. I'll take 5 million photos of all of them.
That would be so good. I think for me, I do have to say Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go has kind of changed my life, and it not only has been a tool for me to kind of get to know people all over the place, but it's just something I can always go back to and know that I have friends there. I don't know. I love Pokemon Go.
Oh yeah.
But I love Pokemon in general.
I think I just mostly like the community from Pokemon Go. I mean, I enjoy Pokemon Go as well. Anything Pokemon, I'm going to like it. But like, I think more so my favorite part about Pokemon Go is the community for sure. Like, I really look forward to when I'm able to organizing like a little New York meetup to play Community Day together or any other event that's happening. And that's definitely like a standout for me for Pokemon Go, more so.
Yeah, I think without having a community around, the game isn't quite as fun for me, but one of the reasons I love it so much is because it helps me find that community. Yeah. And with that, I think I want to ask, did both of you watch the Pokemon Presents? Okay, what do you think? As we're moving into this next year of Pokemon right before the 30th anniversary.
I already listened to the podcast about the Presents.
Next couple years,
like,
I guess.
Trying to keep that in the back of my head and think back on my own opinions that I had. But I thought it was a really fun Presents. Definitely, I was like, why is this so fast? But I don't know. I guess I could slow it down. I could rewind. I could do whatever and rewatch those parts. But I was like, why is this so fast? I'm having whiplash. But I'm really looking forward to another Legends game. I really enjoy Legends Arceus. Was definitely a struggle to play the game initially with just the hand-eye coordination because I don't usually play games like that. I can never imagine myself playing like a Elden Ring type of game. So kind of working in sort of very loose version of those type of mechanics of like dodging and attacking and stuff like that was a struggle initially. But once I got the hang of it, oh my gosh, such a fun game. So I'm looking forward to another Legends, hopefully another Legends style game. I mean, it's called Legends, so I assume it's going to be the same mechanics.
We'll see what
similar.
Legends style means.
Well, yeah, who knows? Maybe it's just the aesthetics. Maybe it is the mechanics. I don't know. We'll see. But that and also just being able to, this is a way to force me to play X and Y since I haven't played it yet. And I'm looking forward to it. And then learning more about like the lore of Pokemon through Legends I'm looking forward to. And the sleep event I am over the moon about. So excited. I don't know if you play Pokemon Sleep as well, Anna, but really excited for the Pokemon Sleep event. And the electric week coming up, the Dene, stoked. Again, electric
That's
types.
That's what I was going to say. You've got the electric types right there.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, Dedenne and Raikou, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are both coming?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have been on and off with sleep, but I enjoy it. I love the premise. The Presents, yeah, obviously, PLZA is like the big ticket. I'm very excited. I guess technically they've already arrived, but Sharkadet, Armourouge, and Cerulege in Go is like, obviously, Go player, very excited. I'm like a very different group in Go. I'm what I would consider the minority that thinks it's really cool that like Go goes out of order. Like I'll hear people who are like very upset, very upset that we didn't get like Grookey and
Galar
and
is kind of losing in Pokemon Go.
But I think it's cool. Like I think it's cool that like we haven't even gotten like Manaphy and Arceus. Obviously, I would love everything to be in Go, but I understand their model has to be like a drip feed, like keep people playing and keep having like exciting events. So like, I didn't want to have to wait forever for Gen 9 Pokemon because I think they're really cool. So I'm fine with the comments of like, we're not even done Gen 6. Like, what are we doing jumping to Gen 9? because I want Cerulege in particular to be strong in competitive. It's unlikely in Go PvP just because it's very attack weighted and like that doesn't convert well, but we've seen Armourouge is like very viable in the video game. It was like a core Armourouge plus Indeedee was like a very strong core duo for competitive VGC,
at least in the beginning.
It's kind of tapered off, but it's called Psy Spam because it's two psychic types and it spams Expanding Force, which is a really powerful move. And it's always, like, it's still talked about, even if it's not as common as it was in the first couple months. And then in the trading card game, there's an Armourouge card that lets you move fire energy around on your board. And it's not, like, top meta, but it's usable. And Cerulege just hasn't got that niche in competitive.
This is so interesting to me, because they're putting so much weight into Cerulege because of the anime.
It is also like objectively the more popular. Like it is the cool bladesman. I think they're both really cool, but like
if their shinies had reversed their color schemes, Cerulege would be one of my favorite Pokemon. But they don't.
Yeah.
They just change the eyes.
But exactly what you're saying. Like they hyped up Cerulea so much, and it's just kind of fallen short. And well, Go, it hasn't had its moment yet, but like in both competitive games it's been allowed in. So obviously Go player really, really excited by that. But Pokemon Legends Zygarde, or Pokemon Legends ZA, I guess it doesn't explicitly say Zygarde, but we all know, is super exciting. Same reasons that you said, Ace, of not having played X and Y, but loving X and Y as like a dex. Like, I love fairy types. Sylveon is one of my favorite Pokemon as well. And the Legend style games are super cool to me for a couple reasons. One, like, I still play them. I did a stream, like, a friend of mine who also streams will do like a shiny hunting challenge and invite me on, because Arceus has like the noise and like very visual indication of a shiny. Yep. And we'll just sit for like 2 or 3 hours and see who can get a shiny in like each of the locations. We'll have like little bingo cards for it. It's a really good time. And then also, like, Arceus to me feels, or Legends, assuming that the mechanics stay, feels like an evolution of Pokemon Go. And I've always found that very interesting in the main line of games, how that inspiration has come through. Because the obvious one is Pokemon Go stepping over to Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu and Eevee.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very inspired. You have the same berries that you have in Pokemon Go. It's a little bit expanded. You have like silver raspberries and so on. But it's a departure from the main remakes and the main system of games. It's not your regular catching system. It's not your regular Pokemon game. And then Arceus.
And then they followed that through.
Yeah, like Arceus. I don't mean to say that Arceus is anything like Pokemon Go one-to-one, but like the method of going about interacting with Pokemon, catching them, it feels like a level of departure from the main series, from games like Sword and Shield, Scarlet, Violet, that kind of went on the main path. And then Arceus feels like it's branched off from this, like, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, which, like, has this ancestor in Go.
Yep.
Different approach to the franchise, approach to the franchise that I really love, because, again, I'm sure you love this about the games as well, Ace, like, seeing the Pokemon in nature. Again, also has like kind of vibes from Snap, where it's like, I get to see a Sveal rolling across the beach and I get to throw a Pokeball at it. Like, feeling much more connected than selecting it in a battle menu of like, throw the Pokeball. Both great. Like, again, doesn't take away the joy from the main series, but it's a beautiful departure and just a wonderful way to experience Pokemon. So obviously excited for a new Legends game. And obviously the mega symbol popping up at the end, like everyone lost their
that
composure.
That just made a bunch of people happy. Yeah.
How many years have people been saying, bring megas back? They did it. They listen. Look, they listen, right?
Yeah.
We'll see if they keep complaining when there are only like 5 new megas.
Yeah. Mega Flygon. Again, Flygon, please.
Flygon's so good. Flygon's a good pick also.
Yeah.
Yes, actually. Are either of you excited about the new TCG Pocket game?
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't really know that much about it yet, but that was the other new thing that they really announced.
Yeah, it was very interesting because, like, again, I've started playing the trading card game a bit more. My significant other is predominantly a trading card game player, and they've looped me in. And obviously, being a Pokemon Go player, I have had experience watching when Niantic, the parent company of Pokemon Go, along with TPCI, will announce a different game, and people will be like, they're abandoning Pokemon Go, they're putting all these resources in this other game, it's so over, they should focus on, like, the good game. And so now I follow a bunch of trading card game people and seeing, like, oh, they're making this game for babies, like, they're diverting resources from the main Pokemon
so
app.
Absurd.
It's so, but it's very funny, at least as someone who knows it's not the case, and, like, you can make things for different audiences.
Yep.
But as someone who just loves the card game as well and loves, like, the art in particular, like, I loved seeing Pocket. I think it's really cool. And I think, like, the other thing that, like, kind of ties to this is, like, it will bring more people into the main trading card game. It's not going to be everyone, but there are absolutely people who will see that and be like, oh, it's baby's first TCG. It's they have a program at regionals and ICs. I'm not sure if they had it at Portland 23, but they had it at NAIC. It's called the First Step Program. And they have people there that will walk you through the trading card game. And I'm like, this is just another level of that. And it's super exciting as someone who enjoys it.
We'll see. I feel like the matches might be a little different with kind of alternate rules and that kind
right.
of thing.
Oh, definitely. It's closer to like the like Battle Academy, I think, like where it's there's products that already exist for like aiming at a younger audience or people who are just newer to the game. So
yeah,
I've definitely seen
those do already exist.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen more people comparing it to Marvel Snap.
Okay. That's cool.
Which makes
yeah.
it even funnier when you say
yep.
that there are people in the TCG scene saying this is like baby's first Pokemon game, but this is the Marvel Snap of Pokemon TCG. And how does that work?
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't mean to like say that it's any majority.
Yeah,
like,
no,
the TCG community is pretty
just
pretty
a
cool.
funny comment.
Yeah. But it is really interesting, and also like how it plays into drawing in collectors as well, I think is great. Like a lot of the advertisement was like, look at these new cinematic arts. And I'm like, it's always obviously again, Pokemon Go player, like the collectors versus the people who are interested in just doing raids versus the like PvP players. There's so many ways to enjoy Pokemon, and like this looks like another piece that's just a hit on hitting multiple of those avenues in a very good way.
My only concern, I guess, with the TCG app is that it does become like, I know nothing about Marvel Snap, right? That's what the game is called. I know nothing about that. I've been recommended to it by like multiple friends being like, you should try this. And I'm just like, I don't have time for another game on my phone.
Yeah,
but,
that's the thing.
with that said, I don't know if it has like a gacha mechanic at all. But I am hoping that it doesn't lean too heavily into that, and it is
yeah.
like another accessible way for someone to get into the TCG. I remember I did learn the TCG a couple years back, and then life just gets in the way. I forgot everything. I can probably, like, if I pick it up, I'll probably learn it again pretty quickly. But like,
yeah,
it would be nice to have a mobile friendly yeah. thing to pick up and relearn the TCG, and I'm hoping
one that's better than the existing
yeah.
one.
Yeah, exactly that. And I'm especially looking forward to like the art aspect as well, because I just love appreciating the art of the Pokemon cards and the work that the artist put into it. I'm looking forward to that as well, but I am hoping it's not like leaning too heavily onto the gacha aspects.
Yeah,
I really hope it's not too microtransaction-y, which I wouldn't be surprised if it is, but I hope
yeah.
it's not priced like Pokemon Sleep is.
That's fair. That's very fair. I think we are pretty close to coming to a close here. If either of you have any other Pokemon questions you want to ask.
I don't know if you have anything, Anna. I'm trying to remember while I'm trying to remember.
So this probably like ties in somewhat to favorite generation, but because it was on the mind today, because like I'm looking at, I'm learning the TCG more and leaning into it a little bit more. And I was looking at buying nicer copies of Boss's Orders, which is like a very staple card in that game. It's like a supporter card. It makes you swap out the opponent's a Pokemon of your choosing from the opponent's bench into their active. I was looking at which ones, like which characters have been printed on that. And it's fairly limited. It's like Giovanni, Cyrus.
Getsis.
Getsis.
That's it.
Right.
That's
and,
awesome
and,
that you said that. Did not know how to pronounce that.
Yep.
I only know it because it was explained to me that it is linked to a German pronunciation that I wasn't aware of. But yes.
And then, Lysandre, the Gen 6 antagonist or like villain org leader. Again, haven't played Gens 5, 6, and 7, so like, I know Giovanni, I know Cyrus very well. And I was really upset that they don't have one of Archie and Matt or Maxi or I think it would be really cool if they had one of Penny from Gen 9. I guess spoilers for people who have not finished the storyline of Gen 9, but like
I would hope it's finished by now.
Yeah.
Most people finished by now. I would hope.
And I obviously she's not a villain in the same way as like some of the other characters, but I guess I was wondering, like, what's your favorite Pokemon antagonist?
That's a good question.
And it doesn't have to be in the games. Like, if it's, like, Mewtwo from the first movie, that's cool, too.
Gosh, that's a good question.
It entirely, at this point, depends on how you define antagonist.
I'm very loose with definitions. I'm fine to, if you can justify it, to take that, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, even, like, Jesse and James, absolutely antagonists. Are they really villains? No. They raised that boy, but, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if the story had worked out differently, I would have really wanted to say Miss Briar, because she seemed like a really interesting character and didn't end up being one.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was just so focused on her studies.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely I agree. The idea of what Miss Briar could have been was pretty great. I was very much so looking forward to that. I guess with like Scarlet and Violet in mind, I don't really consider her a like, I guess, antagonist, but I really did enjoy my time with like Nimona in general. Mm-hmm. I think Hannah can agree as well. Like I would always be laughing with her. I think everyone also loves Arvin as well, but I figured that's like a easy answer. Like that's an obvious one, especially with the storyline of him and having his pet go through, or his Mabostiff, I think is how it's pronounced. Having that whole storyline being something that is relatable to me and having to deal with a sick pet before. But like with Nimona, just like the pureness of her energy, I just genuinely really enjoyed. Again, not really, I guess, an antagonist per se. She's definitely more obviously like a rival.
Yeah.
You know, but like, I like, even though I say Sword and Shield is like potentially my favorite generation, the storyline or the character development in the base game of Scarlet and Violet is by far my favorite in the Pokemon series. DLC, debatable. Base game for me, really, really, really loved.
Yeah, I think people are going to look back on those rivals very fondly.
Yeah.
One character that popped into my mind was N.
Mm-hmm.
N was kind of the one thing I was looking forward to the most when people were hyping up potential Gen 5 remakes.
I've heard so many good things about him. I know nothing about him, but...
I would be interested in experiencing that story again, but we're not going to for who knows how long.
Well,
I
wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Gen 5 remakes get announced not at the Pokemon Presents, and like it happens in the next couple years.
What?
So, yeah.
Actually, that brings up a point. It's a silly question, but if there were to be Gen 5 remakes, like in the same vein of Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, think it would be named? what are y'all's theories? Black 2, White 2?
Would it be named?
We already have those.
Would it be, Black 3, White 3? Would it be something else entirely? Bright White? Dark Black? I don't know. That was completely stupid, I know, but...
Yeah, because, like, I don't know, if you go back to, like, using, like, gems and stuff, you could have, like, Obsidian Black and Marble White.
That sounds significantly cooler than actually what I said, but, you know, just a silly question.
With the stones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be cool.
No, I think I can't come up with a better answer than that. I just don't want those games... I want to revisit the region, but there's no way that they have done a revisit or a remake recently that I want to revisit that region in.
Yeah.
I just, yeah. Just
take it
I
back
want
to
the
Oros.
Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. Yeah.
That's another reason I feel so blessed as a Gen 3 enjoyer is like, got very good remakes.
Yes, same here. What was the antagonist you were thinking of?
Oh, I mean, I like Archie and Maxie a lot. I think that they're really fun in being like obviously fallible villains in like both their thought processes and like I don't know. I think seeing like faults in villains makes very relatable. Pokemon Go head here. I love Sierra as well. I think that Sierra, one of the leaders of Team Go Rocket, obviously doesn't have the like lore flesh out that some of the main series villains have, but also having been in Pokemon Go so long, like there's enough little bits like in like press releases or in like in game events that you actually do. Like they've had some like where your research storyline is like narrated by a member of Team Go Rocket.
Yep.
And then
just recently.
Yeah, just recently during the Go Tour Sinnoh. And then like very enjoying women representation in video games. I think that her style is super cool. She's got the purple lipstick, like very, I think in recent generations of Pokemon, like more recent Pokemon, character designs have been amazing. And I love like Sierra's character design. I think, so again, biased Go player, not going to have the fan base that someone like N or like someone like, Lysander or any of the like Giovanni, any of the main series villains will have, or antagonists will have. But Isco player likes the Go character as well.
I mean, I think she's the, I won't even say the most popular, I will say the only popular of the Team Go Rocket leaders.
Yeah, fair. I like them all. I think Cliff has like a beard that looks like a Pokeball. I'm like, that's very cool.
Yeah.
But no, Sierra is definitely far and away the people's favorite.
Yeah, I think if I had to pick between the three, I would also say, I would definitely also say Sierra.
All right, one final question. If they do not have new starters for Pokemon Legends AZ, do you know which starter you would go with?
So that's Gen 6, so that's Brogadier.
You chose a middle evolution.
Oh, Froakie. Sorry, Froakie.
I knew what you meant, and I'm just like, I get it. I understand.
Yeah, no, it's just nobody ever lists the middle evolution.
Sorry, right? Froakie, Chespin, and Fennekin. Right? Just double checking.
Yep.
Okay. Right. Froakie. Oh, Froakie would be my choice. I extremely popular starter. You know, fan favorite basic, but like, Greninja's really cool, and I like that whole line. Obviously, I went to Frogadier for some reason, but it's got the bubble scarf. Like, it's a really cool.
Yeah, it's really a good cool design.
I like all three lines from Gen 6. I think Fennekin and Delphox are really cool. I love Delphox being like a very stereotypical like wizard or witch like figure. Mm-hmm. I like how like D&D it feels.
We've got the rogue, we've got the tank, yep, we've got
the assassin. Or wait, no, that's the rogue. Sorry,
no, that's the rogue.
The spellcaster,
the mage. Yeah. There we go. Rogue, tank, and mage.
Right.
I've only done one shot of D&D, so that's potentially as far as
those
my knowledge
aren't even
goes.
The right words.
Don't the idea. It's fantasy. They all have 15 synonyms.
Totally fair. Yeah, I think. I would, if those were the options, I would definitely go the Fennekin route, just because like that mage feeling and everything. And I also just really like foxes are cool. Another animal that I really appreciate and admire. So I usually don't pick fire starters, interestingly enough, but Fennekin would be one of them, just because I like the whole line. I like how it evolves, and it's pretty cool. I mean, all three of them are also cool to me, but I would say Fennekin.
Nice. I think I picked Fennekin I don't actually remember whether I picked Fennekin or Froakie my first time around, but this time I think I would go with Chespin. I don't exactly know why the Pokemon Go community day for Chespin made me like that Pokemon and that line way more than I ever had, but it did. So now I would actually go with Chespin. And we'll see if they do eventually get mega forms in these new games that for some reason they're gonna have to explain aren't in the original.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it's gonna be so smooth. It's gonna make complete 110% sense. Mm-hmm. There's gonna be no gaps. I'm sure.
Well, if they do...
Either way.
If they do it in the future, like, I've seen people talk about whether it's in the past or in the future or in both, like, compared to, like, PLA being strictly in the past. So, like, if it's in the future, then they can be like, we developed Megastones for these new Pokemon.
They could. I don't think it's in the future, but they could.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't even know if it's going
to
be a time skip.
We have yet to see. We'll see. Yeah. And with that, I think we're all looking forward to the future of Pokemon.
Yeah.
It has been a really cool time talking to both of you here. Thank you both so much for coming onto this podcast and being part of the 2024 International Women's Day episode. Yeah, we will be back to normal episodes next week. Thank you for listening. This was another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super,
super effective.
Wow.
This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers, starting with Stephen, Kay, Tone, Stuart, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Josh, Jessica, Fumes, Courtney, Brian, Brady, and a huge shout out to our executive producer of Spencer. Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you would like your name read at the end of the episode, or you just want to support, or you just want to support our podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST to support the show and to join our Patreon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you all next week.